doing the airport the other day, and I don't know if Kirby put it down.
Remember?
The lane's got to be slow and more cold.
I don't think that's ruined the day.
No.
Oh, yes. Well, we're on to question number four. And,
just read out the letter.
That's what we're going to do. We're just going right through this thing. Number four, letters. B, C, F, and actually from F to J are marked. So B, C, and F to J. Okay, and then number five. Number five, check letters A, E, and G. A, E, and G. And then number six. Now, there is a dispute on letter A, but as far as Adventism itself goes, even though they have a president, he's not really a president, but we're not going to worry about that. Because I can only duck so quick. And this really isn't all that safe. So it's letter A, letter B, and then D, E, F, and G, and then I through L. So there's only two that aren't checked. Now, if you didn't check A, then you get that either way, checked or not checked. So, but he's more the president of the executive committee, and it's not really an office. It's not really part of their church structure. But since we mentioned, I think it was President Wilson, I think it was Neil Wilson was his name, then that obviously could cause some confusion. So you can either check A or leave it blank, but as far as the rest, only C and H are not checked. And letter H is rather incongruous. They believe in the spirit of prophecy, but don't believe in prophets, which is hard to figure, but nevertheless, that's the way it is. Now, number seven, which of the following essential doctrines are denied by Adventists? And this, I'm sure, was confusing to some, but what is to be checked, and this is just the way that it is, are letters B and F. They have distorted the picture of Christ so that he doesn't even have a human soul, and also the thing with sin being placed upon Satan, that further distorts Christology. And then the eternal consequences for both the saved and the unsaved, since they believe in annihilation. And now if you check D, you have a real problem, because you make them unsaved. So you can't check D. There's no way that you can check that, because they're not unsaved. And we made it very clear that they believe in salvation by faith, and that's what saves them. And without that, they'd be damned. And that's why with Jehovah's Witnesses, Mormons, and all the others, you always have that checked, because they're unsaved. But this group is saved. So if you check D, you make them unsaved. And if that's going to be your opinion after the class is over, you can hold that opinion, but I'm not going to hold it with you, and I don't think others who really know Seventh-day Adventists and what their heart is and the real commitment, they would also disagree. It is confusing because they don't have a right concept of works, but they do believe in salvation by faith and by grace. They really do. Okay, part three, true or false? Number one, only letter C is false. It's 1 out of 4 rather than 3 out of 4. Number two, it's all true. Number three, letters A and C are false. A and C. The rest are true. Number four, the first two are true, the rest are false. First two are true, the rest are false. That's number four. See, they recommend that you be vegetarians. If you're going to eat meat, you can only eat clean meat. But it's not required for them to be vegetarians. Where are we at? Two E. No, just hold on. I need all those voices. Like I need another hole in the head. You know, that proverbial statement. I don't recall. I'm not positive one way or the other. Just put a question on it. I'll look at it. I'll be happy to do that. No big deal. I'll look into it. I'll come up with something. I'll defend myself somehow. I've never been wrong. I never will be wrong. These tests are inspired. These are virtually scripture. Okay, well, enough of that. Terrible situation. Makes me feel so uncomfortable up here. Okay, well, number five. We'll just go on to number five. That'll get us off the hook here. Only letter B is false on number five. Letter B is false. All the rest are true. Number six, letters C and E are false. C and E. Number seven, letter E is false. Number seven, letter E is false. All the rest are true. Number eight, letter C is false. So eight, letter C is false. And number nine, letter E is false. And then number 10, we're going to omit letter A. It's false, but there seems to be really in this whole process of examining the books, there seems to be somebody working with Christ. And see, the Adventists do not carefully specifically designate Christ as the only one doing this. And so it's kind of an ambiguous thing in Seventh-day Adventism, but we never really dealt with that, so we omit that. The rest are true. So B, C, D, and E are true. And then number 11, letter D is false. Letter D is false. And then number 12, letters C and E are false. Letters C and E. Number 13, letter E is false. Letter E is false. And then on number 14, letter A is false. All the rest are true there. Number 15, letter E is false. They don't believe in a completely new heaven and earth. They believe in a renovated earth. Yep. Well, this is a general statement talking about that general resurrection. There is the special one. And I can read it. I'm doing very good. I passed English in the third grade. I didn't take any after that, but I did okay in the third grade. If that was truly your thinking on letter C, 15C, well, then I'll take true or false. So that's fine with me. If you put down a false just because you got tired of putting down T's, well then, please don't give yourself credit. But if that was your thinking, then by all means, give yourself credit. Number, part four, page 11. Here's the letters. Number one is letter E. The letter E. Number two is letter I. Number three, H. And number four is D or E. And if you put both, that's fine. Or just one, it's fine. Number five, A. Number six, I or J, or both. I or J. Number seven is letter E. Numbers eight and nine are letter I. Number 10 is F. Number 11 is B. Number 12 is I. 13 and 14 are letters A. Both are A for 13 and 14. Number 15 is E, 16 F, 17 I or J or both, 18 is C, 19, letter I for 20, letter G for 21, and letter I for 22. So D, I, G, and I. If you have any question on them, feel free to write it down. I'll be glad to look at it. Be my pleasure to do so. And then we'll hand these in and we'll talk a little bit about Reverend Moon. Hundred points possible. So add up the minus and subtract from 100. No, not yet. You can pass in your assignments, too. Pass in the assignments first, I suppose. So we'll collect the assignments and then collect the tests. Okay, we'll talk about Reverend Moon here for a little bit. And we may, depending on how far we get, we may talk about him at the beginning of the next semester, but if you're only taking this semester of the class, then that's nothing to be concerned about. I don't think we'll give a test on him. We might. If so, if any new students come in, then they'd have to listen to this hour and about 40 minutes. And so we'll just kind of wait and see. There won't be any paper on Moon due until I think this over next semester. And so you don't need to do that. But we'll just start on it, see how far we get, and see what we want to do when next semester starts. Now, when Moon came on the scene, at first people joked about his name, Sun, S-U-N, Myung, M-Y-U-N-G, and then Moon, M-O-O-N, Sun Myung Moon. And there is a direct, what his real name is, I don't know. And I don't believe this is his real name. It could be, but I doubt it. It's dealing with Sun and Moon. And this man, in my mind, there's no question he is very much demon-possessed. This man is a real mess. And the things that he believes and teaches and all the rest, these are really blasphemous things. So here comes this man, Sun Myung Moon, and people ridiculed him quite a bit, and they said all sorts of derogatory things, and they made up clever names for his followers like Moon People, Moonites, Moonflowers, Moonstruck, Moonies, and this is all derogatory. It's all mocking him and ridiculing him. But Moon and the members of his Unification Church, they were not laughing. They were hard at work tacking up posters, buttonholing busy pedestrians, and urging Americans to forgive, love, and join their message of brotherhood. Now, his clean-cut, well-mannered adherents made friends and influenced people. and he took out full-page newspaper ads, and he blitzed the nation's major papers, and he had mass rallies in America's most prestigious centers, and he made Christians and non-Christians alike sit up and take notice. And there was a lot of money that he spent to do this, and this was in the early 70s. And the question was, who is this man? And where did he come from? And he says, and this is what his message was, that he will come and unify all branches of Christendom. So this is quite a proclamation. And people were wondering if this could really be true and if this could really be done. Now, the Unification Church has a worldwide membership of about 1 million, and I think it may be even more than that at present. And out of that, there are about 35,000 members in the United States. And out of the 35,000, 10,000 are dedicated core members who live at one of the church's communal centers and work full-time for the movement. So they more or less have 10,000 full-time evangelists, and that is a very large number, and they are active. These people are busy. Now, when Moon came, it was thought and alleged that he was a Christian missionary from Korea to America, preaching brotherhood and rebirth. And one of his slogans on some of his placards was, "This could be your re-birthday." See, rebirth. And this is the devil. This is how the devil works, to fool Christians. And I would imagine that a lot of Christians more or less got on his bandwagon and thought he was something special. And later, hopefully, had their eyes opened that this man was dangerous. Moon is a very dangerous man. He's got power. He has prominence. He has wealth. That makes him dangerous. He has a lot of followers. That makes him even more dangerous. This man is taking people to the lake of fire. That's what he's doing. I have nothing kind or benevolent to say about the man whatsoever. I hope that he can get saved, but I doubt it seriously. I doubt that somebody in this position really could ever get saved. But I would love to be proven wrong. Now, mixed in with his religious message was patriotism. And he was vigorously anti-communist. And when he came, he was backing President Nixon. And he even had a God Loves Richard M. Nixon campaign. And one of his publications, which billed itself as America's fastest growing freedom newspaper, got the endorsement of Barry Goldwater and also some other conservative congressmen. You know what that tells me about these congressmen? They're not always thinking. They didn't do enough investigating. We have got to be careful as to what people we make a good opinion about, make a good statement about. I don't think these congressmen feel quite the same way today. I think if we asked Barry Goldwater how he feels today, I think his opinion would be different. Now, Moon's official biography states that he was born in Pyongyang Buk Do, something similar to that, and it's P-Y-U-N-G-A-N, it's the first word, P-Y-U-N-G-A-N, and then Buk Do is a hyphenated word, B-U-K hyphen D-O. And this is a province of what is now North Korea. And he was born on January 6th, 1920, which will be important, as we'll see as we go along. Now, he was raised in a Presbyterian home. and he was interested in spiritualism and mysticism. And you know what that tells me about his Presbyterian home? His parents weren't saved. Or if they were saved, they didn't realize the importance of them training the child in the way that he was to go. And it also tells me that if they were saved, that since they didn't have the Holy Ghost, it left them more or less high and dry to really raise this man properly, this child. And, you know, there's a lot of these people that you find that have been raised in church homes. And today they're leading spiritists, and they're leaders of cults, and they're demon-possessed. And if they'd been raised in good Christian homes, if those homes had really been filled with the love of God and the Spirit of God, those people would not be where they are today. I think the devil delights in taking people out of those environments and just showing that these churches, just being affiliated with a denomination, offers no power whatsoever. It presents no hope. It gives no eternal life. I think the devil likes doing that. He causes the denominations to die, and then he pulls these people out and gets them into all sorts of twisted and perverted things. I think he really enjoys doing things like that. The devil is such a perverted being. He delights in harming and twisting things. And I think he likes to take these people that had a so-called Christian background and really mess them up. Now, on Easter morning in 1936, while Moon, who at this time was 16 years old, was deep in prayer on a mountainside in Korea, Jesus Christ appeared to him to tell him that he had an important mission to accomplish in the fulfillment of God's providence. Now, whether or not he had a visitation, I don't know. Whether or not this is anything more than what Joseph Smith had, I can't say. I tend to think that he probably did have some sort of visitation. Clearly demonic. Clearly demons. This was not Jesus Christ in any way, shape, or form. Totally impossible. Now, the whole point of this was to show Moon that he was to complete Christ's unfinished work. And that tells you the source of this visitation, if there was, in fact, a visitation. Now, the details of this vision are not clear. Some reports indicate that he was told to restore God's perfect kingdom on earth. And so it's kind of ambiguous. It's hard to know what really happened. It is much like Joseph Smith and his accounts. There's something like 8 different accounts as to what happened to Joseph Smith and who really visited him and what was said, and they're all in contradiction. They cannot be harmonized. Well, that's kind of the way this is. It's real ambiguous. It's not clear. Now, in the early days of the movement, he reported that he not only saw Jesus, but also heard a voice from heaven. And the voice said, "You will be the completer of man's salvation by being the second coming of Christ." But recently, that theme has diminished. He hasn't been saying the same thing. And Moon, right now, has more or less gone into obscurity, but I don't think that means we've heard the last of him. He's had to deal with his tax evasion case, in which he was convicted of, and so I'm sure there's a lot of legal litigation that is pending and other things, and so we don't hear much of him right now. I would anticipate hearing more from Moon in the days ahead, but we'll just have to wait and see. Now, the following 7 years after 1936, so from 1936 to about 1943, were very significant years for Moon. Not only did he study electrical engineering in Japan, which shows that he's quite an intelligent man, but he also was delving into the Bible on his own. Now, this is part of the problem. And he developed what he calls the divine principle. Sounds like that he had a little talk with Mary Baker Eddy. And this later was written down for him in a book form and became to his disciples what all these other writings to the Mormons, Jehovah's Witnesses, Christian Science, and so forth become to them. And they all end up replacing the Bible. And during this time, he claims to have spent time with Jesus, also with Martin Luther, also with Buddha. I don't think that Moon is just a storyteller. I think that because of the things that he's been associated with, he probably has had experiences in the spirit realm with demons. And demons have come to him saying they're Jesus, they're Buddha, they're Martin Luther, and all the rest. And I think Martin Luther gets involved here because he brought a reformation. He brought to light that which had been removed and had been obscured. And so then that puts Moon in the same kind of a category. And he will restore and he will finish what has been left undone for generations and centuries. Now in 1945 he began preaching. And this is where his biography begins to be confusing. He apparently was associated with an underground Pentecostal movement in a place known as, well, I'll just spell it, it's two words, P-Y-O-N-G, P-Y-O-N-G, and the second word is Y-A-N-G, which is North Korea's capital, until his anti-communism got him into trouble with the North Korean government. And so apparently he had some sort of an association with an underground Pentecostal movement, but his preaching was strongly anti-communist, and so that got him into trouble. But others report that it wasn't his anti-communism that caused him problems. It was his bigamy and his adultery that caused him problems. And there is no question that this man has terrible problems with immorality. This man is a terribly immoral individual, plain and simple. Now, no matter what really happened, Moon ended up in a slave labor camp, and he was there until freed by the United Nations forces in 1950. So this is right during the Korean War and involved in that time period. And so once he was set free, he moved to South Korea and he worked as a harbor laborer in Pusan, P-U-S-A-N, until he founded his church. And this is the official name of the church, Holy Spirit Association for the Unification of World Christianity. Holy Spirit Association for the Unification of World Christianity. And this was founded in 1954. And Time Magazine says that the movement developed from an earlier Korean messianic movement. And so they say that it had roots in something else. And maybe Moon took advantage of that and moved himself to the forefront. Moon said, "My mission is to try to unite all Christians into one family before the Lord arrives." That's exactly what the Antichrist will more or less try to accomplish with the world church. Now, from the start, Moon's mission was controversial. The year that he founded his Unification Church, his wife left him. And Moon explained, "She could not understand my mission. She just couldn't accept my mission." And so he ends up having this divorce. The Religious News Service says it is unclear whether he has been married twice or four times. The followers of Moon say that it's only been twice, but there's evidently some conflicting information. Now, there have been persistent charges of immorality lodged against Moon. And that's really what a lot of this cult comes down to. It becomes more or less a sex cult. And so it's very, very similar in a lot of respects to Mormonism. In 1955, he was jailed again, reportedly for causing a social disorder and having bad morals stemming from ritual sex with women in his church. According to a leading Presbyterian minister in Seoul, Korea, Reverend Chi, C-H-E-I, this reverend said, if we believe those who have gone into the group and come out, they say that one has to receive Sun Myung Moon's blood to receive salvation. That blood is ordinarily received by 3 periods of sexual intercourse, but this fact they themselves keep absolutely secret. So that would be saying that he is going to have sexual intercourse with every single female that comes into his church. Now, that is true. That would just demonstrate the incredible way in which he's demonized. There's a lot of people coming into his church, and so this is not just a human thing. This is not just the normal sex drive in a man. This is something way beyond that. This goes way beyond that. A Japanese book entitled The Madness in Japan by a man named Eraro Arai, A-R-A-O, and then A-R-A-I, A-R-A-O, A-R-A-I, charges that Moon used to teach that in order to purify oneself of the satanic blood we inherited, and in order to go to heaven after death, humans must have intercourse with those who have God's blessings. This is what they call the ritual of blood sharing, or the ritual of Holy Spirit exchange. That's complete blasphemy. The disciples of Moon obviously deny this vigorously. Now, Moon mentioned he was arrested in 1955, they say, for draft evasion, and then he was subsequently acquitted. But the other allegation was the immorality. So there's quite a bit of conflict here. A fundamental tenet of our church, says the American president, Neil Solonen, S-O-L-O-N-E-N. This is the American president of the Unification Church, Neil Solonen, S-O-L-O-N-E-N, is chastity and the absolute sanctity of the marriage relationship. No sexual misconduct is tolerated. But those words don't necessarily mean a thing. Others say that what was practiced in the early days of the movement is not taught today because it would not be accepted in America. That's the same thing with the polygamy of Mormonism. Same exact thing. Nevertheless, the Presbyterian Church in Korea ruled the Unification Church as heretical for 3 reasons. This is how the Presbyterian Church viewed the Unification Church in Korea. It said it's heretical for these 3 reasons. Number 1, Moon has placed himself more than Jesus Christ as the object of faith. So Moon becomes the object of faith. Number 2, Their doctrine violated the morals of modern society. And number three, they would destroy the church by deceiving pure and sincere Christians. So Moon is higher than Christ, a doctrine that would violate the morals of modern society, and that this church would end up deceiving pure and sincere Christians. That's how the Presbyterian Church in Korea viewed the Unification Church. Now, whatever the charges leveled against him in 1955, all we know really is that he was acquitted. So we don't know really what it was. In the following years, besides developing his new religion, he began building a multi-million dollar network of industries, including pharmaceuticals, titanium production, involved in tea, air rifles, and stone vases. So pharmaceuticals, titanium production, tea, air rifles, and stone vases. And his holdings today are probably close to about $25 million. Sounds like the Mormons again. A lot of money. A lot of money means a lot of power and a lot of influence. Money really speaks quite loud. It opens all sorts of doors. And the devil knows how to acquire money. He knows how to build up industries. The devil knows how to do some of these things. He's pretty skilled at it. And he knows how to get this money into the hands of his people and give them influence. The devil knows how to do that. And that's what we see in a lot of these different cults. We see that with a lot of different groups. Now, as Moon climbed the financial ladder in Korea, the government began to look at him more kindly. They changed their opinion of him. By the mid-60s, Moon had launched a few anti-communist front groups, including the International Federation for Victory Over Communism. And because of his militant anti-communism and his vigorous support of South Korea, and of the leaders in South Korea, he ended up receiving quite a few favors from the Korean government. Newsweek says, every year the government sends provincial officials, militia leaders, teachers, and village chiefs to a center outside Seoul for instruction. Very peculiar. And evidently because of his wealth, because of his prominence. And I don't know really for what other reasons. I can guess, but I don't really know. The next phase of the worldwide advance started on January 1, 1972. So Moon starts with nothing, and now he's making an impact worldwide. And this is when God appeared to Moon and told him to come to America and prepare the people for the second coming of Christ. They established their American headquarters on a 22-acre estate in Tarrytown, New York. Tarrytown, New York. And his church purchased this property for $850,000. And the estate includes a very large mansion. And his family lives there. And he also has an elaborate training center there. Now, his message for America was this: the Messiah is on his way. And the salvation of the world will depend on whether America repents and turns to God in this decade. Well, what happened? That was 1972. What decade are we talking about? The 70s. What's today? 1983. What does that tell us about his message? It tells us that he's a false prophet. Tells us that he doesn't know up from down. But that was the message. In early 1974, during a 32-city blitz, Moon, speaking through a Korean interpreter, said over and over again, "God's hope for the world relies on America. God has chosen Richard Nixon as president." And what later happened to President Nixon? He got the big kaboot right out of office, resigned. Full-page ads appeared throughout the country. God inspires a man and then confirms him as president through the will of the people. At this time in history, God has chosen Richard Nixon to be president of the United States. So he was really supporting President Nixon. Now, of course, not long afterwards, Nixon resigned, so that didn't go very far. Now, Moon was undaunted by this, and he just continued his coast-to-coast crusades. In New York City, 2 days after Moon had addressed a rally of more than 20,000 people in Madison Square Garden, the church bought a 2-page spread in the New York Times at a cost of more than $13,000, in which his sermon was presented in condensed form. So, 2 pages, New York Times, $13,000. Shows that he's got a lot of money, and he's spending it. In most cities, he attracted large crowds, but often half the audience left before his two-hour message was complete. The American audiences were not very patient, and from what I understand, it was very hard to really follow him. He speaks in kind of a peculiar style, and all I can speak is Korean, so he'd more or less be speaking to his interpreter in kind of a peculiar manner, and then the interpreter would speak, and this would go on and back and forth, and that would be hard enough, let alone really tolerating his message and some of the things that would come in there. If you knew anything, if you were really listening, you really wouldn't have been able to tolerate the message itself. A man in the Christian Leader named Kirsten described the Chicago rally. Kirsten, K-E-R-S-T-A-N. This is in the Christian Leader. He said, "I'm here," this is how he described it, "I'm here to ready the world for the coming of the Lord," continued the short but husky evangelist with his not-so-humble claims. A few minutes into his speech, and Moon was in full swing, or as he would call it, in the full stream of prophecy. To put across his message, Moon stabbed and chopped at the air with pudgy hands and used his complete command of Oriental drama to growl, shout, whisper, bark, and occasionally spit out his words. Reverend Moon repeated his statement, "I have been in heaven, and I have been given the power to see and understand the plan of God." As the monologue swung from Moon to his interpreter and back again, an alternating current of words was creating the occasional hypnotic effects. It's kind of almost like watching this ping pong ball or tennis ball. And after a while, it more or less lulled his audience into some sort of hypnotic trance, is almost what it came down to. The Philadelphia Bulletin described his presentation, said, "In his sermons, Moon speaks in a raspy shout and slashed the air with karate chops." That's the description. Don't forget the pudgy hands either. Can't forget those pudgy hands. The big question, however, is not Moon's style, but what is he saying? What's the content of the message? What does he teach? Now, Moon refuses to be interviewed by the press. He says he doesn't have time for interviews because he's a man of prayer. He just doesn't have time. He's too busy praying. But the real reason is that he was misrepresented as far as he was concerned, and some of the things didn't come out very well in the newspapers, and so he didn't want to give any more interviews, is more of what the truth of the matter is. So they say that what you need to do is read the book Divine Principle. And this book was first published in 1957. And Moon didn't write this book He had a penman. It's from Moon, but he had more or less a penman. And then there's also another book, which is a commentary. And it's called Divine Principle and Its Application. So we've got the book Divine Principle, published in 1957. And then you have a commentary on that book called Divine Principle and Its Application by a man named Kim, K-I-M, by a Korean named Kim, K-I-M. And then so you have Divine Principle and Its Application, and then a third source to determine what his theology is would be the reprinted sermons that have appeared in various magazines and newspapers, and also in some of the other unification literature. And so that's where you find out what he believes. Now, in 1973, Time magazine called Divine Principle a curious mixture of Christian fundamentalism, Taoism, which is spelled T-A-O-I-S-M, but pronounced Taoism, which involves a dualism, also numerology. So you've got Christian fundamentalism, which is not really Christian fundamentalism, but Time magazine, what do they know about Christian fundamentalism? Taoism, numerology, and even metaphors for Moon's electrical engineering. So that's what they say makes up the book Divine Principle. And the book points to a new savior from Korea. See, it doesn't really, Moon doesn't really come out and say, I am this savior. But he says the savior will come from Korea. And he will come from the same time period in which Moon was born. You just start putting it together, and Moon is talking about himself. The Unification Church believes that it is impossible to decode the Bible without the use of the divine principle. Moon believes that the Bible is written in code, and the only way to decode it is by using his book. And much of the teaching is woven around a proper understanding of the three atoms. Now, the three atoms are Adam, Christ, and you guessed it. It's not Richard Nixon. It's Reverend Moon. Now, the real problem with that is that Christ is called the last Adam, not the second Adam. And not one of three, but he's the last Adam. There is no room for Moon in the Bible. But it's a main thing of his teaching, is this three atoms. According to Moon, the first Adam, way back in Eden, was supposed to have married Eve, and together they would have had perfect children to build the kingdom. Together with God, Adam and Eve, there would have formed the Trinity. See, he does not believe in God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. But it was to be God, Adam, and Eve. That would be the Trinity. But instead, God's desires were frustrated when, according to Moon's teaching, Eve was sexually seduced by Lucifer and actually had intercourse with Satan. And this started a new Trinity, Adam, Eve, and Satan. And then he's with the second Adam. That's how he describes Christ. God's going to be frustrated again. And we'll talk about that right after our break. How they get started, how they get power, how they get,
I've heard him like this once before, but I have what they call Carrie Cole with a girl on the same station she's on. Yeah, with the wind blowing in the background. Yeah. Anyway, you were listening to the
Well, it is the one that's in the way.